Welcome to The Republic by Plato, a book that may be the most important philosophical work ever written about how human beings should live together. Most people assume that justice is simply following the rules, but this book reveals something far more unsettling, hiding beneath that assumption. Plato, who founded the Academy in Athens and is widely regarded as a predecessor of the modern university, spent a lifetime building the case. And the answer will challenge everything you think you know. The Republic opens at the Piraeus, Athens's commercial harbor, where Socrates and Glaucon attend a festival for the Thracian goddess Bendis. Plato's choice of setting is deliberate. The Piraeus was a district of merchants, foreigners, and non-citizens, people excluded from full civic life. The conversation about justice begins, pointedly, at the margins of the very political order justice is supposed to sustain. Socrates is brought to the house of Cephalus, a wealthy elderly merchant, and what starts as a social gathering becomes a rigorous philosophical inquiry. Cephalus offers the first definition: justice is telling the truth and paying one's debts. Socrates dismantles it immediately. Returning a weapon to a friend who has gone mad is technically honest, but clearly harmful, proving that rule-following without context cannot capture justice. Cephalus departs for a sacrifice, and his son Polemarchus inherits the argument, proposing that justice means giving each person what they are owed, doing good to friends and harm to enemies. Socrates presses him to identify what craft justice resembles and what it produces. More fatally, the author argues that harming anyone makes them worse as human beings, so a just person cannot be the cause of making others unjust. The conversation reaches its dramatic peak with the entrance of Thrasymachus, a sophist who has been waiting impatiently to speak. He dismisses the preceding exchange as naive and delivers a bold, cynical thesis: justice is nothing other than the advantage of the stronger. Those in power make laws serving their own interests and call obedience to those laws justice. Socrates challenges Thrasymachus on two fronts. First, rulers can be mistaken about their own interests, meaning obedience to their flawed laws would actually harm them. Second, Plato argues by analogy that every genuine craft, medicine, navigation, serves the interest of its subject, not its practitioner. So ruling should serve the ruled, not the rulers. This exchange crystallizes the central tension driving the entire republic. Is justice a genuine virtue that benefits its possessor and the community? Or is it merely a social construct serving the interests of the powerful? Plato's brothers, Glaucon and Anaimontus, sharpen the challenge further by demanding proof that justice is intrinsically valuable. They invoke the myth of Gyges' ring, a shepherd who uses a ring of invisibility to act unjustly without consequence. Their question is devastating. Would anyone choose justice if they could escape its social costs entirely? This thought experiment forces Socrates to construct a complete theory of the soul and the ideal city before answering. The author contends that justice in the city mirrors justice in the individual soul. Only by understanding both can Plato demonstrate that the just person is genuinely happier than the tyrant. The Republic thus presents itself not as a political manual, but as a rigorous investigation into how one ought to live. Plato regarded this as the most important question any person can face. No simple definition of justice survives the inquiry, only a complete philosophy of the soul does.